So, here's where I'm going with this.
Yeah. Yes.
We have been negligent in our continuing at least once a week soap opera about the guy that runs the news station, which is a couple of slots ahead of us in the ratings now.
Jim right. Fartley.
Now, we did it for a couple of days, and we poked fun at Rupert Pupkin, the guy with the radio website, and then we didn't do it for a couple of days.
Right.
And as it turns out, I don't want to say exactly where the mole is, if the mole is at WTOP or if the mole is at Washington Post Radio, both of which are owned by the same company.
Right.
But we've got somebody over there.
Good.
And we have it on the highest authority that it is bothering Mr. Fartley. That it's bothering him to the point where people are coming up and saying to him, hey, have you heard Don and Mike making fun of you?
That's and he hope. Doesn't respond to it very well.
No. Well, he's one of these guys.
He does not react well.
He's a speaker at the National Association of Broadcasters Conventions.
He believes his own press.
He's one of these jerk-offs that wants to get up and tell everybody, yeah, he reinvented radio by doing traffic and weather on the 8s.
Yes, I remember back in 1980, I had a situation. Shut up.
And from what I understand, he's also one of these guys, if he meets you, he'll say, I'm Jim Fartley. I'm the operations manager at WTOP. He doesn't say, I'm Jim Fartley. Much like, you know, Mike or myself, you wouldn't say, hi, you know.
Well, I know how we both introduce ourselves. You say, hi, I'm Don, and I say, hi, I'm Mike. That's it.
That's it.
That is it.
Anyway, so.
Unless I'm, you know, plastered.
Right. Now that we know.
Then I give the whole, you know, the whole bio. Famous.
But that only happens on days of the week that end in Y.
Exactly.
So. Now that we know that Jim Fartley is bothered by this, we're going to bring it back. And we're going to do it at least once a week. And we've got everything worked out. I don't have to worry about doing my Jim Elliot voice.
Mm-hmm.
Rob will be playing the role of one of the news anchors there.
Right.
I'll be playing the role of the secretary. Buzz is the announcer. And Mike is the guy, the pompous ass that runs the news station.
Jim Fartley.
Who also has like a 24-hour machine,
a PR machine,
a self-promotion machine, where it's like, my God, he's as bad as the TV stations.
Right.
I turned it on today, and it was like, when the terror alert was raised, WTOP was there.
Mm-hmm.
What? When we were told that we couldn't bring shampoo on an airplane anymore?
Yeah, when it came over your wire service?
Please, eat me, copy boy.
Thank you.
So let's get right to it.
Yes.
Dedicated to Jim Fartley,
it's time to meet the Fartleys.
Oh, there's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
When we last left the glass-enclosed nerve center that is Jim Fartley's office, our hero was meeting with his morbidly obese, bearded newsreader, Ira Melman. The atmosphere was tense, their moods were pensive, and the air smelled of ass. Just as they were about to discuss the deepest, darkest secret at the all-news station, when Fartley's secretary, Bonnie Vill, comes into his office.
Excuse me, Mr. Fartley?
Bonnie! How dare you disturb this high-powered meeting?
Sorry to disturb you, sir, but there's a situation brewing in the break room.
Oh, is it bad?
It hasn't been this bad since our reporter, Sean Anderson, climbed on top of that beverage cart on the airplane a few years back. Don't you remember?
Good God, woman, of course I remember. That was the worst Diet Coke I ever tasted. It was really hard to finish it.
But as I recall, you were pleased that the airline gave you extra peanuts that day.
Peanuts always make me happy, Bonnie, even the second time around. Now then, what's going on in the break room?
Well, sir, the problem is
Mike's telephone, which you promised you would turn off yesterday.
Our story will continue in a moment.
Sorry, everybody, that was my Fartley phone. I'll get back to the story in a second. God damn it.
Now, back to Meet the Fartleys.
You were pleased the airline gave you extra peanuts that day.
Peanuts always make me happy, Bonnie, even the second time around. Now then, what is going on in the break room?
Well, sir, I don't want to say, but the problem is it's Sean Hall, sir.
Hey! I was the best man at Sean's wedding!
It was true. Any Google search will reveal that Ira Melman was the best man at Sean Hall's wedding.
What's so great about this? Let me just stop this for a second. It's not just goofing on the pompous dick that runs this station.
Right.
But it's all the tools out over there who think that they are real news people, you know, unlike Buzz, because they come on and say it's 8 after the hour.
Right.
Right.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Mike? I'm going to shut this thing off once and for a while. I am so sorry. I really am. There it is. Shut off now. Thank you very much. You know what? It's brand new and I can't figure out. There. It's gone. It's turned off forever. It will never be turned
French
on.
French fry machine break? What happened?
I swear to God. God damn.
Anyway, it's funny to bring the reporter and call them reporters is funny, but it's...
Right.
It's
well, a lot of these guys are DJs, right? They're old
DJs.
Yes,
right. Many of them worked as like morning show news people or morning show sidekicks before they get this job. So it's great to do this. And Rob actually did do the Google search.
Yeah, we saw the pictures.
Pretty funny stuff. So let's see. Hold on a second. Let's pick it up from
Buzz. To the narrator.
Buzz.
And the search revealed that Ira Melman was the best man at Sean Hall's wedding.
Any Google search will reveal that.
And while that has nothing to do with our story, it remains an interesting sidelight. The wedding cake never had a chance.
So, Bonnie, what is Sean Hall doing in the break room?
Well, sir, Sean Hall was cleaning his gun and getting ready to slaughter some cattle for his lunch. When his pistol accidentally went off.
Oh, no.
Yes, and the bullet went straight for Lisa Baden's heaving bosom.
What an ample target. Was she hurt?
Luckily, the bullet bounced off her steel-reinforced brassiere. The only damage she suffered was a sharp bullet-shaped rip in her Little House on the Prairie schoolmarm dress.
Then what happened, Bonnie?
The ricocheted bullet got lodged in a huge, unsightly gap in Diane Kempley's dentures.
Maybe that will stop the whistling sound when she talks.
That's doubtful, because Sean Hall suddenly retrieved the bullet, covered it in tartar sauce, and ate it, sir.
Oh, well, there's no use in crying about it. What's done is done. Just make sure that Sean Hall doesn't sneak in any more firearms. And you know how to be certain, right?
Yes, sir, Mr. Fartley. I'll search in all of his folds.
After a brief delay, struggling and trying to navigate her way around Ira Melman, Bonnie left and went to pat down Sean Hall, a task she had to set aside 2.5 hours to do.
I'm Ira Melman, News Radio WTOV. Mr. Fartley?
Mr. Melman, let's get back down to business.
Okay, but let's hurry. I left a case of gummy bears in my automobile, and they should be plenty soft by now.
Well, Ira, here's the deal. We've got to come up with some good ways to keep this rusty old vessel afloat. The good ship WTOP has been taking on water for months, and I fear the Dotted Mike submarine is in our midst.
Submarine? Submarine sandwich!
Ira, you need to focus.
Jim, you need to calm down. What's the big deal?
Don't you get it? If we don't do something soon, people will figure out our deepest, darkest secret.
You mean the thousands of candy bars I have hidden in the basement?
No, fat ass. The fact that we...
Yes?
That we actually run more commercials per hour than the Don and Mike Show!
Pause for dramatic effect. Now, back to the playlist.
We what?
You big blob of pie filling. On average, we run more commercials per hour than the Don and Mike Show.
But, Jim, nobody ever realizes it because our news content is so tired and repetitive.
Yes, I guess that the commercials are the best thing that we run, I mean, after hearing dumbass Neil Augenstein ramble on endlessly about murders or restaurants or whatever, a 60-second spot for the T. Talbot Bond Company is like an episode of flippin' Seinfeld.
Yes, Jim. I feel that our programming is our weak link.
Maybe you're right, but don't you think we've been doing a better job with our news coverage?
Well, I don't know. We've been all over this heat wave.
Yeah, oh, buddy, that's really a hot story.
Great pun, boss.
What pun?
Anywho, here's our lead story today. I'm Ira Melman, News Radio, WTOP. It's very hot. Try to stay inside. If you have air conditioning, use it. If you have water, drink it. I'm Ira Melman, News Radio, WTOP. Then, we'll repeat it every 10 minutes until this autumn.
Hard-hitting news. That's how I roll. Oopsie.
I hate this heat. I just sweated through my sport jacket. I'm soaked. The Melman Heat Index has the current temp at 109 degrees.
The Melman Heat Index?
Yes, that's how hot it feels if you weigh over 500 pounds. I'm Ira Melman, News Radio, WTOP.
Great idea. Here, have some ointment.
Thanks, boss. Let me go see if I can reach where I need to apply it.
I doubt you'll be able to, but good luck. And don't forget, this Wednesday you're coming over to my house to graze in my front yard. My grass is getting way too long, Ira.
I wouldn't miss it for all the butter in Wisconsin.
Join us next time when we'll hear Jim Fartley say,
has anybody seen my hemorrhoidal donut pillow? Anyone? Ira, have you seen it?
Oh, that was yours? I thought it was a Krispy Kreme. That is, until I tasted it.
As we meet the Fartleys.
Bravo.
Bravo. What can I say?
Oh, I love that one today.
Oh, that is, folks.
That's 10 minutes. You'll never get back.
You could have been reading the Bible, for God's sake.
I predict a Peabody. I truly enjoy it. It's getting better and better.
Uh-huh. It is, Mike.
It is fantastic.
Ira Melbourne.
We'll have Buzz with no news and traffic on the 8th.
No, right. Not at all.
Ooh. And, of course, our constant interruptions.
Ira Melbourne.
Dynamite interruption time.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And here it is, straight from today's USA Today. There you go, Mike. Your
thank
copy.
You. Thank you so much.
And let's get right to it. Of course, he is a great columnist. His column appears in the Purple Life section every Thursday in USA Today.
He's a wordsmith.
And now, from the USA Today, The Final Word by Craig Wilson.
By George. She looked just like Washington.
I had an elementary teacher years ago who looked exactly like George Washington.
Perhaps the more interesting fact is that George was a she.
I remember walking into her classroom that day in September and seeing this imposing woman with white, white hair pulled back on top of her head, two poofs of her hair covering her ears.
She couldn't have looked more like the father of our country if she tried. A twin, separated at birth.
It was as if she had thumbed through Colonial Celebrity Magazine, ripped out the page with George on it, took it to her hairdresser, and said, I want this!
Who knew you could get your hair done that way in Western New York in 1959? But evidently you could. Maybe it was her own creation. Who knows? You didn't ask about such personal things back then, especially of your teacher.
But I couldn't have been happier when I saw that pompadour.
I immediately assumed she had fixed up her hair that way on purpose. After all, she was an elementary school teacher. They always had agendas.
She was going to be George Washington during the first full week of classes, then move on down the line. Dressing up as various presidents throughout the year. You know, what kind of school did he go to? Is it any wonder?
I think you know.
Is it any wonder? She was going to be dressing up as the various presidents throughout the year.
ending up a bald Dwight Eisenhower in June. Or at least, maybe Eisenhower with those funky bangs.
But it was her Abe Lincoln I was looking forward to most. A mid-year treat.
Crazy queer.
Maybe pegged to his birthday in February. I couldn't wait to see how she was going to handle the beard, the height, the craggy face.
It was never to be.
Imagine my disappointment when she remained George Washington until June. No Ulysses S. Grant. No Grover Cleveland. No FDR. Just George.
The hair never moved on from 1776.
She was a good teacher. She was a good teacher boy. But obviously lacking in any kind of forward thinking.
I thought of her the other day when I read about the new $60 million mansion and visitor center that opens next month at Mount Vernon. George Washington's home on the Potomac.
The project's goal is to spruce up the stodgy image of George on the $1 bill, mixing the traditional books, maps, artifacts, his false teeth, with high-tech effects. Hint, look for some snow falling inside.
Oh. There are even three life-size models of Washington through his lifetime. Ages 19, age 45, age 57. Plus a larger-than-life illuminated sculpture that stares back at you no matter where you are in the room.
It's all part of a trend going on in historical museums. Get the public in and teach them something before their MTV minds move on.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. The press get the peek later this week. And I'm sure it will all be quite wonderful.
But I knew an elementary teacher once who was far more convincing.
A whole lot cheaper, too.
From one queen to another.
There you go. That's what he wrote about today in the nation's newspaper.
I mean, it's amazing his memory. The only thing that might have made that better is if Jack, his partner, was sitting there in the classroom with him. But alas, it didn't happen.
Why is Don so angry?
Don't be so angry, boy.
All right, well, that's Craig. He's good when he writes about a woman who looks like George Washington.
Yeah, I sure hope he takes his dog to Paris soon. Yeah.
We really need a column with him shoe shopping with his mom. Yeah.
Shoe
we?
Shopping, the dog, you know, something like that.
One of those chairs, those
Adirondack chairs.
Yeah, he loves those.
Sitting in an Adirondack chair, shopping in France with his mother and his dog and his partner Jack.
Sipping on a mojito, boy.
Ah, wonderful.
I'm playing this sound effect for a different reason, though, with Buzz.
Oh, it didn't. The mirror didn't break. It was just ripped off the wall.
What?
Hold on.
Yeah, Buzz was just telling me some great news from his home. This is what I call.
I immediately am thinking domestic altercation.
Well, no, nothing like that. It's just that she'd been agonizing over. She needed a new makeup mirror, and she'd been agonizing over which the right one was to buy. You know, with the right amount of light.
Just the kind of thing that like goes in the powder room, goes in the bathroom.
Yeah, it hangs near her bathroom in the bedroom actually, and the one she had was dying. She needed a new one. She kept buying new ones and not liking them and taking
I don't
them back
mean to
and
pry,
exchanging them for new ones.
How does a mirror die?
Well, it didn't die. Oh, you mean the lights? Oh, I'm sorry, the lights. Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Well, like
anymore.
It's got one of those mirrors that's surrounded by lights.
Right. You know, like in a Vegas showgirl.
Sure.
Thing.
Okay.
Like that. Your mirror.
Like all the mirrors room. That I have in my home.
That's right.
So she would go to the store and buy one and not like it and take it back and go to the store and exchange it and get a new one that she also didn't like and then take that back and so on, rinse, lather, and repeat until I finally found one on the internet I was sure she would like. And
right.
It arrived, and she was out a little later one evening, so I thought as a favor, you know, as a nice thing to do. I had a minute. I felt like it. I had the energy.
Any wiring required with this thing?
A little bit. Not a lot. Nothing complicated. And I thought this would be a nice surprise that it'll be here, that it's the greatest mirror ever, and I will mount it just perfectly, just precisely.
It's a tremendous thing to do as a husband.
Your wife loves it when you mount her perfectly.
And I was really pleased with the way that it went up, and I had out all the tools, and I got all the tools put away, and everything was cleaned up. And
brand new mirror, just new.
I'm watching South Park, eating my gruel, having dinner, and she comes home, and I hear rustling upstairs. I call hello, and I get no answer. As it turns out, she had already said hello, and I didn't hear me answer, which was why she was pissed off at me. And so she was in that frame of mind when she walked into the bedroom, saw the makeup mirror she didn't like, and removed it from the wall.
Wow. Tell them that you didn't just remove it.
Well, you know.
Ripped it off the wall.
Ripped it off the wall.
When did this happen?
Oh, a couple of nights ago.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
Yeah.
So you don't respond to her when she comes in.
Yeah,
she comes in. She's mad. She thinks you're blowing her off.
Did she? I didn't ask you.
And she pulls the mirror off the wall because she's mad at you.
Yeah, that's what.
I think that's what she was in that frame of mind. And then when she saw that a mirror she didn't like had been mounted in a way she didn't like, between that and the lack of a hello, boom, right off the wall,
like violently.
I was able to put it back up.
How violently did you know? Did she? Now you had it bolted into the wall,
well,
right?
Not bolted. It hung on nails, and then it required some special fasteners to sort of keep it in place.
It didn't have like picture wire behind it.
No, it was on nails or screws in the wall.
So she actually had to use some of her superhuman strength.
Had to pull it. Yeah.
Give us the specs on it. How big is it?
Oh, I'm gonna say
like
it was
3 feet by 4 feet.
No, more like 8 inches by 10 inches.
Oh, okay,
like head size.
She had been out. Had she been drinking?
No drinking.
Or something else?
No. She was just getting back from getting her new car serviced.
Oh. Didn't you buy her a car over the vacation?
I did.
That's what
I
a
did.
Bad vacation they had.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said to Buzz, when I came over for my birthday on Sunday, Marcia was all excited about Buzz bought her a Prius. Uh-huh. And I pulled Buzz aside and I said, wow, you bought her a brand new car. I said, you must have had a really rough vacation.
I thought it might cheer her up. And as you can tell from the mirror story, I was right.
But did the mirror come after the car?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, cars normally good
really,
for a couple of weeks.
I have to say a couple of things in her defense, though. Seriously, all of this is true. But in her defense, I've forgotten what I was going to say in her defense. She has apologized. And it was very much, that was the other thing. It was
when you said makeup mirror, I picture a big,
like
3 feet by 3 feet.
You know, a little square with lights around.
I'm just reporting what he reported to me.
Right.
And you said you had gone to a lot of time and trouble.
I really did.
To install this thing.
Meticulous. I had the level. I mean, this was a great job I'd done. I was so proud and really excited about this new mirror that I was convinced was going to be her favoritest mirror of all time.
And she was going to really be happy about it.
Yeah.
Instead, she ripped it off the wall.
I actually couldn't wait until she got home.
What were the words? Give us some of the words that were said. Like when you heard did you hear the sound of the mirror?
She came downstairs as I was finishing my gruel.
Was she holding the mirror?
No, she wasn't. And I thought, women like it when you're thoughtful. So I'll ask how her day was.
Right.
And what if she learned anything exciting about this thing she was going to?
Did you learn anything exciting?
Well,
you don't really say that to her, do you?
No, she went.
Was she going to the Scientology meeting again?
No, I said to Bart when he's five.
She went to a workshop about her new car. And since it's a new technology and there was an expert there, I was asking her, did you learn any, cool new stuff about your car?
Oh, right.
Right, okay. You didn't know. And I thought that'll be a way of showing interest.
Right.
And, I am interested.
Right.
Thanks
for throwing that in.
Didn't get a lot of response for that. And that's when I knew she was steamed about something.
And what did she say to you?
Well, nothing. I mean, that was just it. Very little, if anything at all.
So you pop for this car.
Uh-huh.
I mean, both of you buy the car.
Right.
Because I know she works too.
Right.
And you install the mirror.
Uh-huh.
And she's still kind of in a bad way.
So when you went upstairs, how did you find out that she had ripped the mirror off the wall?
Before I even went upstairs, as we're having this rather chilly conversation downstairs, and again, us guys, we're in the dark. We have no idea why she's in a chilly mood.
Yeah.
It was in that conversation that she revealed that she had ripped the mirror off the wall.
And how did she put it to you, friend?
She said something about, she referred to it in the past tense. She said, was there. And I said, was? She said, I took it down. Well, there was really only one way to take it down after the way I'd put it up, so I knew it couldn't be good.
Wow.
But she has, my response was...
How's she doing now?
Oh, better, I think. I responded, but only time will tell, Mike.
Right.
But I responded with, ouch, because my feelings were hurt.
Ouch?
How did she react after you told her that you'd put all that time and care into putting up the mirror?
She said, I appreciate that. But she did.
That
she
is
finally,
chilly.
She finally did see what I believe to be the error of her ways, and she apologized thoroughly and you know, rightly for
and
that.
And did she really not like the mirror, or did she finally say, hey, the mirror really does look okay?
Yeah, we're sending it back.
She didn't really like it.
Yeah. You know, and that's the problem. It's a freaking mirror. I mean, you guys got mirrors on your ceilings.
Yeah.
She should just lay in bed and lay on her back and do her makeup, for God's sake.
Now, you should get the full wall size mirror that has the light bulb surrounding it. Yeah,
chasing light.
It's the kind I have in my house. Three bathrooms in my home.
All of Mike's bathrooms look like Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, right. I tell you.
1960s Caesar's Palace.
I get surplus marble, and I do very well with my surplus marble.
Are there any mirrors left in the Prius? Or have they all been removed?
I'm going to have to check. It's a good point.
And don't forget, Buzz, wives may appear larger.
than they really are
in actual life.
Yeah, and angry.
Everything's good, but, you know, I think anybody can relate to this because you just the chilly reception, I didn't know. Yeah. After what I'd done, I thought I'd be like a hero.
You didn't do nothing,
Buzz. I climbed the mountain and swam the river. And
wow.
You did.
And then thanks.
And there you go.
Well, it sounds like the things are going well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't cast a reflection.
Oh, dear. Can't see her in a mirror.
So it could be worse.
Is she in town now?
Yeah.
Brave man you are.
You know, here I was thinking I had the worst situation of all you guys, and now I'm thinking it's not half bad. Not half bad at all. We're actually having a pretty good week after she moved out. We really are. Perhaps, I'm serious.
Perhaps I can try that.
No, I mean, we are. We're talking a lot. We're actually getting along quite well. We're talking about different things, and things are going very, very well.
That's good. Secret of my marriage.
You know, you do spend an awful lot of time apart.
A lot of time apart.
You know, I wasn't thrilled with the cooling off period, but now I'm thinking it's actually been productive. We are actually talking more clearly and more honestly than we ever have about our relationship, and things couldn't be better.
Everybody
very,
needs
very
quiet,
good.
Quiet time.
We're not back together living in the same house. Not living. Stuff is still moved out. Nothing's been moved back in. There's not a timetable, but right now, so far, so good.
Good.
So, you know, hey, this weekend, go to the gun show. You know what I'm saying?
The gun show?
Come on, Ron Burgundy.
The gun show.
Go to the gun show.
No, got the little ones this weekend. Taking
them
away.
Oh, you got the kids this weekend.
Taking them away myself. And, you know, so that'll be a little more time. It's so far, it's just okay. It's a big cup of okay.
You know what a nice...
But I'm actually very pleased with the way things have gone. I could be, you know, still very depressed like I was. But, no, things have been, you know, I'm taking it very, very slowly. And so is she. And it's looking okay. I'm going to buy her a Prius.
And how's your girlfriend like it living with her mom?
You know, I really haven't gotten into that. That we haven't discussed. I'll ask her that tonight. We're seeing each other tonight, and I'll have an answer for you.
You know what makes a nice gift? Makeup mirror.
I can
get you one.
I'll do that. I'll do the makeup mirror.
After you fire the new car.
Right. The Prius. The Prius and an 8x10 makeup mirror. Easily dismounted from the wall.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. We got a break, but when we come back... How about this, kids? Yeah, we'll do something. There you go. That's a good tease. That'll make you listen through this commercial.
Coming up next on the Don and Mike Show, something.
This is the Don and Mike Show.